Well, good morning. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church on this baptism of the Lord. God loved us first, which is the best news of all. Good morning again, and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending, we're pleased that you're here this morning, and those of us who are around pretty much all the time want to meet you, want to make you welcome. So don't be surprised if we seek you out and shake your hand, and if we don't get to you soon enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we want to get to know you, and we'd love it if you would make your home here with us. One way to do that is by participating in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You'll find lots of opportunities to do that listed in the bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up just a few. First of all, during the month of January and through the first Sunday in February, we're collecting peanut butter for Second Harvest Food Bank. You may have seen some of the containers around with the peanut butter in them. During the holidays, a lot of people call on food banks for help, but that need doesn't go away when the first of the year comes. It continues throughout the year. So our communion offering throughout this month and our peanut butter collection throughout this month will both benefit Second Harvest Food Bank. Also, the first Corpuscellium fashion show this Saturday, January 18th, in the fourth floor theater, this will present a line of clothing designed by our own Mary Kate and Brakefield. The doors open at 7. The show begins at 7:30. Tickets are $5, and you can read more about it in your bulletin insert. Also, for those of you who ordinarily expect to come up and sit with me during children's time and have a story, we won't be doing that this morning because we are reaffirming our baptismal covenant. We will invite you instead, if you would care to come and interact with the water when that time comes and to remember your baptism and be thankful, but we will not be having a children's time that you're used to during this particular service. God reached out to creation in an act of love. God looked down upon each and every one of us and said, "You're my beloved daughter, you're my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Thanks be to God for the love that precedes us everywhere we go."
The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful and full of majesty.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood.
The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The God of glory thunders over mighty waters.
Sometimes we hurt our friends. Sometimes we hurt ourselves, and sometimes we hurt God. Our prayer of confession is a time to say we are sorry. God of all creation, you welcome us as your children and invite us to be in relationship with you through baptism. Yet we do not live according to our baptism vows. We struggle to believe. We ignore justice and mercy. We create divisions in your body. We are truly sorry. We repent and turn to you. Forgive us and renew our covenant with you. Christ initiated the outward washing of baptism. Out of the water, we rise with new life, forgiven, renewed, and one with Christ.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, David and Katie Killian bring their daughter, Anna Catherine Killian to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Today is a very special day. Every time we experience a baptism, it's special. But today we're also going to invite you to renew your baptismal vows. Now, a part of that will happen during the baptism, and then a part of that will happen after the sermon. So we just want to prepare you for that possibility, because after the sermon, you'll be invited to come and renew your own baptismal vows. I guess what I'm saying is, listen very carefully, because these are for you as well as for Anna Catherine. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. And through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledging what God is doing for us and affirming our commitment to Christ's holy church. Now, David and Katie, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say, "We do."
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround them with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. And call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child? Anna Catherine. Hello, sweet girl. Anna Catherine, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'll pray with me, put your hands on her. Anna Catherine, the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'll walk with me.
Will the Will the congregation please stand and face Anna Catherine? Now it is our joy to welcome our newest sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Anna Catherine to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give you thanks for all that God has already given you, Anna Catherine, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. Will you pray with me? God of grace, in all that is to be said, and even more in what is to be heard, fill and guide us with your Spirit. In the name of the one who redeems us. Amen. I've been at West End for 25 years, and in that time, I have heard a lot of great sermons preached from this spot and that one too. Well, this isn't going to be one of them. I am not a minister, I'm a lawyer. Worse, I'm a lobbyist. Read every gospel reference to lawyers you can find. We come out on the losing end. And as for lobbyists, what are those storm clouds doing out there? Better question, what am I doing here? I'm here because Michael asked me to tell a story, and it starts this way. There was an old judge in Nashville who used to scold witnesses who were tempted to offer their opinions. And he'd wag a finger at him. He'd say, "No, no, the jury is not interested in your opinions. You tell what you have perceived with your five senses, what you saw, heard, touched, tasted, smelled. You be a witness." And that's what I'm trying to do today, to tell you what I have seen and heard and touched, to be a witness. I found that it's not very hard to talk your way through Christianity. The vocabulary quickly becomes familiar. You mix in some rhythms and ritual, show up for a service for two, and you can very nearly sleepwalk your way to religious competency. Being competent at church is a little bit like being competent in dental care. A semi-annual checkup, a little spiritual flossing, and before you know it, you can hold your own before any Sunday school class. Now, if spiritual competence sounds remote, well, it should, because that's exactly what I intended for a long time. I learned to value competence with my first spelling test. You probably did too. SAT, GRE, Six Habits of Highly Effective People, Six Sigma, Who Moved My Cheese? Competence is about wealth, it's about power, it's about self-control. And that's why spiritual competence is so dangerous. A few years ago, I sat next to a Methodist preacher at a dinner. He asked where I attended. I told him. He said, West End, a head church. He may just as well have said, competent church. And if he had, to tell you the truth, it wouldn't have offended me, because competence was what I was after all along. I certainly didn't want a faith that asked for anything, because if you have to ask, it means you aren't competent. I wanted a church library Christianity. Big easy chairs and heavy wooden tables, stacks of books, streams of ecumenism flowing in through the stained glass windows, a cup of coffee. My test of idea was neither whether it was spiritual or scriptural. My test was whether it was smart, articulate, whether, in short, it appealed to me. Asking was for the unprepared, the uneducated, the unskilled, and so I didn't ask, didn't intercede on behalf of others in prayer, hardly prayed at all unless there was food, didn't ask the psalmist to carry my heart, didn't ask Paul to carry my tears, because to do that would have required reading scripture, and I didn't do that either. Certainly didn't ask Jesus, except perhaps to get me out of a ditch, never called on the Spirit, convinced myself that my politics were a proxy for justice, and a gray prayer card a proxy for compassion. Didn't really develop relationships, build bridges, offer witness, or share fellowship. Quick disclaimer, what I'm about to say is not a comment on this church or the church. Everyone experiences things differently. What I want to tell you is what I experienced. For a long time, for me, coming to church was a gathering of like-minded, like-dressed folks, kind of a civic club meeting with better music. Political allies stop in the hallways, talk elections. Sunday school classes begin with a conversation about the game yesterday. They end with a conversation about the game today, if we get to that point, because as you know, kickoff is at noon. I never asked, how is it with your soul? What is Jesus doing in your life? What is Jesus doing in my life? How is the Spirit at work for you? Church was indeed like going to the dentist. Attended out of obligation, participated in with some mild discomfort, exited in relief. And I thought that I was one of the good ones. I had a front row seat. I had a monthly pledge. Doesn't that say it all? Well, it says all I had to say, which, as it turns out, is not the same thing. A friend says idolatry is believing in a God who likes things just the way we do. Well, that was me. Smug, certain, worked out, and checked out. If you're looking for your place in the Bible, I know mine. It was with the Hebrew people complaining about Moses spending all that time on Mount Sinai. I may as well have been forging a golden calf. And yet, God. Not the icon in the grad school library, but the God of Abraham, Jonah, Saul, Paul, and Mary. A God who never, ever stops searching. A God who says to us, I did not make you for that life you are leading. That life our culture celebrates, our economy rewards, our academies teach, our politics honor, and yes, our technology facilitates, that life is built on scarcity, competition, division, selfishness, competence, and control. That life does not come from God. Scripture tells us over and over again it comes from the tempter. And on it, not surprisingly, I got all the emptiness that the tempter promises. Joy has another source. Joy comes from love, nourishes love, a love about which I'd read a lot but did not know. That love, that relentless, pursuing love was at work even on me. Here's how I know. There was this interim pastor. He'd kind of look at me, his head cocked, and he wouldn't say anything sometimes, but he'd say, there's a lot more to you than you think there is. I know it. There's Michael Williams, who reminds us every week, everybody is in. Now, what do we do with that? Third, an invitation in 2012 to read a book, I'm good at that, on a small group experience that's 300 years old, invented by a guy that a lot of us United Methodists don't know. His name is John Wesley. And he created a thing called covenant discipleship. So sure, I'll read a book. Fourth, October 2012. A South African pastor who I've never met named Trevor Hudson comes to lecture here. Trevor says to us, each of us sits beside a pool of tears, and that when we pray through that pool, that Jesus listens. Why are you weeping? Jesus asks the woman at the well. Why are you weeping? Jesus asks me. Because as I sit there for the first time in a very long time in church, I'm in tears. Then I'm asked, okay, you've read a book. Would you become part of a covenant discipleship group to account each week in relation with one another for acts of compassion, justice, worship, and devotion, just as Mr. Wesley taught? Well, This goes well past sitting and reading. And I have no idea why, but I say yes. In that group, five of us, united at first only by our mutual availability Wednesday nights at 6, commit to each other. After some time of discernment, we make promises to each other to live a life that resembles that of a disciple. We put these promises in writing, and we read them each week to each other, and then we describe what it was like this week to try to keep those promises. Many of them are new to me, like regular prayer, reading the Bible, listening to others, giving. Some weeks I keep them, some weeks I don't. And if there's anything that I want to say to you today, it's this next thing. It's that in the weeks when I don't is in the weeks that are the most holy. Because when I don't keep those promises, I'm accounting to others in honesty and in love, and they welcome me back. And in that welcome and in that community, not only do I learn to love them and they to love me, but I actually learn to do the stuff I promised to do. I don't understand how any of this is actually coming together for me until last July when Laurie and I made a decision to spend our vacation at church camp. My friends and family are still asking about this. So we go to Soul Feast, a United Methodist spiritual formation conference at Lake Junaluska in North Carolina. Trevor Hudson is there too. And as the event opens on a Sunday night, he tells us there are a lot of Christians, maybe even us, who have no idea when or how to ask for the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. His answer, anytime. Doing anything. Find ways, seek them out, try them, but ask and see what happens. Monday morning, Tuesday morning, more of it. The Spirit's about celebration. The Spirit is about repentance. The Spirit is about fellowship, a koinonia sharing of all that we have with each other, of all that we have with each other and with God. The Spirit is about life, but it starts, all of it, with the asking. Not, I am distraught to learn the books or the debates or the coffee, but asking God for the ability, the power, the joy, the integrity, the magic, the mystery, the love, to be the person that God created, not the derivative work I have devised. And so, I try it. And during every worship, my palms are as sweaty as they are now. My heart is up here in my throat. I can barely move. But I am at last asking, not me, God, you, not my will, God, yours. In return, I get a movement, a nudging. Others sense it too. A friend actually asks me Tuesday afternoon if anyone has ever told me there might be a call on my life. That night, Laurie and I sit by the lake. For about an hour, we watch the light and the clouds play across the water and the sky. Dogs and their owners stroll by. We don't say very much. I ask God, what have you got for me? And the next morning, I wake up and this is what I write in my journal. It is not a skill to master. It is a truth to live. The conference closes the next day. Trevor is no longer offering or suggesting. Now he's gone to meddling. He describes the phenomenon of the youth mission trip and its power. But he says to us adults, the mission trip for you is the mission trip that you make every single day from your home to your jobs. Because that's where you are. That's your opportunity for mission. He says, if you're a doctor, find what's broken in the healthcare system and heal it. If you're a lawyer, find what's broken in the legal system and fix it. That is your mission trip. A friend of mine leans in, kind of tugs my jacket and says, "You know, he's preaching to you, right?" And I do. I am now not beside a pool of tears. I am knee deep in it. Not a skill to master, a life to live. And it is a strange word for me to use with you in this room, but I don't have another word for it. I'm converted. 6 months later, writing all this down, I can't help but think how much and truly how long God's been at work on me. Michael preached during Advent about angels, and there have been a lot of them. First, my family, my parents raising me in church, confirmation class, youth choir, then others, prophets who challenged me, friends who came out to me, spiritual creation experiences, spiritual experiences around an open table, in losses, very personal, very painful, in a journey to a miracle daughter, and in the faith of a miraculous spouse. And finally, in this church, where we have married, baptized a daughter, and buried a son, where you have welcomed, encouraged, laughed, prayed, and thank you most of all, forgiven. No, it hasn't been one thing, but we lawyers love a Latin phrase, and so here's one for you. Sine qua non. It means that without which. And I can tell you that without that weekly accountable hour of covenant discipleship, without Laurie, Jim, Bobby, and Revel in the collaborative presence of God, I would not be on or stay on this path. Covenant discipleship is my sine qua non. Without that, nothing else. Because it's where, for the first time, I learn in discipline and love who I am and who I may yet be. And I find out who, as Methodists, we are and may yet be. I told you that when I left Junaluska, I knew what the call was about, and here it is, to become a disciple, to live into that covenant that God made with us long ago, affirmed in that Jordan River story that Sue read for us just a moment ago. The truth revealed in that moment, in that breaking through of God into this world, is this: there is no other way to know and share God's love than to live the life in which God is well pleased. And if those voices from heaven weren't enough to persuade you, we know the very first thing Jesus does when he's baptized: he heads to the wilderness. Well, man, we know the wilderness. That's where we hang out. That's where we do our best work. And there in the wilderness, Jesus is offered self-determination, wealth, power. The tempter offers Jesus the same things he's been offering me all along, the same temptations I've bought into. Be competent, Tom. It's cool. It pays off. It's smart. It's enough. Jesus is honest at that moment and at all others. Discipleship is not for everyone. It is hard. And it involves a cross. But the kingdom on earth, as it is in heaven, requires it if we're to make it through the wilderness. I no longer believe that I was baptized into competence. I believe I was baptized into a life. And these are the baptisms that we will remember today. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. To witness to Jesus Christ in the world under the guidance of the Holy Spirit through acts of compassion, devotion, worship, and justice. That last part is John Wesley. Here's the way I take it. Compassion. I'm called to give without expectation of return and to seek out opportunities to listen to others. Okay, I can still talk. But that is not, as it turns out, what God wants of me all the time. Devotion. I'm called to read the scripture and pray for the Holy Spirit's presence in all that I do. The more I do it, the more I need it, and the more I get from it. My new daily prayer is this: God, open me up empty me out. Fill me up. Worship, I'm called to be here with you every week in worship. And some of you know I wasn't doing that not so long ago. I'm also called to give to this church. Our group says we will give proportionately to our income with a tithe as our goal. I'm not there yet, but that's the goal toward which I'm working. And finally, justice. As for brokenness in the legal system, not long after we came home from Junaluska, I got another call. Would I consider joining the board of Tennesseans for Alternatives to the Death Penalty? Well, in my business, there is nothing more broken. And so I said yes. So here I confess, I don't know if any of this has meaning for you. But if it does, perhaps God has been working on you too. Perhaps your path is now before you. If so, you're in luck, because the prophet Isaiah described it for you 2,700 years ago. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the darkness, from those who sit in the dungeon. If you have a bulletin insert, fill it out. If you have 15 minutes after church, come to Scales Chapel. If you do, here's what awaits. God's presence, real, available, for the asking, in community, in covenant, and in discipleship. Not, I promise you, another skill to master, but a life, your life, to live. And how do I know this? I've seen, I've heard, and I've been touched. And that makes me a witness. And maybe today, you be a witness too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Reaffirm our baptismal covenant. These are the waters that were present in the deeps over which God spoke the first word of creation. These are the waters of the Red Sea that parted for the children of Israel to pass unharmed. These are the waters of the Jordan in which Jesus and John stood together. These are the waters that are the pool of tears God has wept over the brokenness of the world. These are the waters of our baptism, and we're invited to come and to reaffirm those promises that were made for us by our parents, that we took on at confirmation, that we took on for ourselves if we were baptized at a time when we could answer for ourselves. But now we get a chance to come back and say yes again. God has already said yes to us. We get a chance to say yes to God once more. You're invited to come forward. You won't be directed by anyone. There is no compulsion whatsoever. There will be four stations of water, two here at the front and two on either side. You're welcome to come to the closest one. You can interact with the water any way you choose. You can make the sign of the cross on your forehead. You can touch the water and touch your face. You can simply look at the water if you choose to. If you haven't been baptized, you're not excluded from this. God's love and mercy and grace surrounds us even before we know it. If you want to come and recognize that, you're welcome to come as well. If you would like to kneel for a time of prayer following it, you're welcome to do that. If you would like to take a next step, as Tom said, there are forms, bulletin inserts in your bulletin. If you didn't get one, Just come to Scales Chapel after the service, or if you're not going to fill yours out, pass it to a neighbor and see if they want one. If you want more information about covenant discipleship, you can fill it out and put it in one of these two silver trays next to the front pew as you come to remember your baptism and be thankful. And even if you do that, or even if you don't have a chance, you're welcome to come to Sales Chapel right after the service. Go right across Reed Hall, take a right, and it's on the right to learn more about that next step in deepening our journey of discipleship. My friends, I invite you to remember your baptism and be thankful. For us to come to you, if you can't come to us, please raise your hand and we will be glad to do that. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism.
Given us as members of the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we will faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. With renewed faith, let us now pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Good morning. We are so grateful that God has called us all together for worship on this special day. If you're a guest, please join us for a time of fellowship after the service out these doors to your right. And if this is your first visit with us, stop by the Bread for the Journey table and pick up a small loaf of bread as a token of appreciation for joining us this morning. Please note there are gray cards directly in front of you in the pew racks. Those cards are for prayer concerns or joys, and the reverse side is for questions or comments to staff or lay leadership of the church. We invite you to complete those and place them in the offering plate when it comes around in just a moment. If you have not yet passed down the attendance pad through your pew, you'll find the pads on the inside of each pew. We invite you to pass those down now, if you will. Record your attendance And then when they come back by you, please open those. Look at the names of the people you're worshiping with. And after the service, say hello. Introduce yourself. Get to know them. That's an important part of being a community of faith. On this day, our love and condolences are expressed to the family of Sue Peters. Sue died last Sunday, January 5th. Services will be held next Sunday, January 19th, at 3 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Visitation will precede the service and begin at 1 o'clock out in Reed Hall. We also express our love and condolences to Rosalie Smoody. She died Tuesday, January 7th. Services were held yesterday, January 11th, at Harpeth Hills Funeral Home. Our condolences are expressed to Mary, Chris, Jack, and Richard Ferrara as they mourn the death of Mary's father, William Byrd. William died Saturday, January 4th in Paducah, Kentucky. Our love and condolences are expressed for the death of Laura Trent. Laura died last Wednesday. Services were held yesterday, January 11th, here in the sanctuaries. Among her family members that are West End members are her very loving and faithful husband, Tom Trent, Laura Pollard, Valerie Trent, Alex Trent, and Vivian Pollard, her granddaughter. We also express our love to Hank and Polly Jennings as they mourn the death of Hank's mother, Elizabeth Martin Jennings, who died January 7th in Gainesville, Georgia. She's survived by her granddaughter, Mary Jennings Filippi. Services were held in Gainesville on Friday. And lastly, our condolences are expressed to Mike Petrus as his mother, Billy Petrus, died Thursday, January 9th in Carthage, Tennessee. Mike was a very faithful and loving son as he went to live with Billy during the last few months of her life to be her caregiver. We surround him with love and support. May we offer not only the ordinary things in life, like our money, but also the extraordinary things, and give our whole selves to God. We give thanks that through our gifts, God will work in this place and in the world.
And now go forth knowing to whom you belong, to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And God, who loved the earth and all that is in it from the beginning, Jesus Christ, God's seal of love walking among us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to partake and participate in that great love, be with you this day, this week, and forevermore. Go in peace.